Peppermint gum is your standard of quality for complete chewing satisfaction.
I'm back in the saddle again. I'll wear a friend in the friend.
Genuine Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. And it always has the name Wrigley's on the wrapper. Yes, sir, you're all invited to the Gene Autry Show with all the folks here at Melody Ranch. Johnny Bond, the Cass County Boys, the Pinafores, Carl Kottner, and yours truly, Lou Crosby. Right now, here's the boss man himself, America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry.
Well, thank you very much, Lou, and howdy, folks. Yes, sir, it's nice to have you all here with us this Sunday, and we hope that you'll be glad you came. And right now, I'd like to start things off on a musical note. So, boys, how about I hate to say goodbye to the prairie, huh? All my life I've lived beneath that dear old western sky. Never a care to worry me. At last the time has come and I must say goodbye. I hate to go, but it just has to be. I hate to say goodbye to the prairie and all the dear old friends so true. I'll miss their cheery howdy-do, oh pardon. I'll miss the happy times I knew. When the purple sage blooms in the springtime, I'll be haunted with a memory. I hate to say goodbye to the prairie. The prairie is a part of me.
When the purple sage blooms in the springtime, I'll be haunted with a memory.
I hate to say goodbye to the prairie. A part of me.
Hey, downright good, Gene. Really good. You know, if there's anything I like, it's a song with a happy ending.
Well, what do you mean, happy ending there, Lou?
Oh, it's plain as the spots on a pinto, partner. You said you hated to say goodbye to the prairie, didn't you?
Well?
Well, you don't have to say goodbye to the prairie. Now, if that isn't a happy ending, what is?
Well, let's finish this up right here and with another happy ending. A little reminder to all the folks. Friends, there's only one genuine Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, and it always has the name Wrigley's on the wrapper.
Right. Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is your standard of quality for complete chewing satisfaction.
Every little breeze is sighing of love undying at sundown. Every little bird is resting and feather nesting at sundown. Each little rosebud is sleeping while shadows are creeping. In a little cottage cozy, the world looks rosy at sundown. Where a lazy smile will greet me and always meet me at sundown. I seem to sigh, I'm in heaven, when night is falling and love is calling me home. Cozy, the world seems rosy at sundown. Where a lazy smile will greet me and always meet me at sundown. I seem to sigh, I'm in heaven, when night is falling and love is calling me home.
Well, pal, you sung your song. Now why don't you sit down? Let me take over.
Now, just a minute over there, my slim little chum.
What do you mean you'll take over?
Just what I said. The folks has finished their soup. Now they're ready for the meat and potatoes.
And ham, brother.
Yes, that too. Well, I have come prepared, I'll have you know. I have here a poem I can choose to read.
A poem? Who wrote it?
Rudyard Bond.
Rudyard Bond. You mean Rudyard Kipling, don't you?
Who's Rudyard Kipling? I never heard of him.
You mean to tell me that you've never heard of Gunga Din?
Gunga who?
Gunga Din.
Seems to me I've heard that name, Summers. Did he have a brother that used to ride bucking horses?
Johnny, Gunga Din is a myth.
Yeah, couldn't be him then. Feller I'm thinking about never had no sisters.
Say, Lou.
Yeah.
Come over here and help me straighten out our foggy friend here, will you?
Sure, Gene. What seems to be his trouble, anyway?
Yeah, the only trouble I got is this foreigner here, Lou. I said I'd wrote a poem, and the next thing I knowed, he's talking about some gal by the name of Gunga somebody.
Oh, you mean Gunga Din?
They're both nuts. Look at that. They're both talking that way.
Yeah, I see what you mean, boss.
Say, Johnny.
Yeah?
Why don't you read this poem you've written and then go out in the desert somewhere and take a long walk without water?
If you insist.
All right, by all means, I do.
All right. Well, since next Friday is the 4th of July, my selection for this Sunday is called Who Put the Firecracker in Uncle Louie's Breakfast Food? Or Look Out, Friend, You're Blowing Your Top.
A nice, sensible title.
All right, Henry Wadsworth Bond Fellow, how does it go?
Now, don't rush me. Here it is. Poem about the 4th of July. The 4th of July is next Friday. That means a holiday for kids from 8 to 80 at home or far away. There'll be lollipops and baseball and picnics in the park, hot dogs dunked in mustard from early morn to dark. It's lots of fun, but just remember a simple thing or two. A don't, you know, may save a life. Here's all you got to do. Now, don't drive your car at 60. 30 will get you there. And watch the road with both your eyes. You be the one to care. Don't go swimming after dinner or stay in the sun too long. Don't stand up in the rowboat. You all know right from wrong. If we all just take it easy and remember only this, life belongs to everyone and life's too short to miss.
Yes, sir. Johnny, that was swell. Yes, sir, a mighty fine thought. Thank you very much. And now, folks, here come the three lads from down Texas way, all set to go blazing the trail. All right, boys, start blazing it.
I'm blazing the trail to my home. Never no more will I roam. I'll never rest till I reach the golden west. I'm blazing the trail to my home. My bronc knows where I'm heading for. With my gal once more. Can't wait till I see the sun up in the sky. I'm blazing the trail to my home. Giddy up, giddy up, ride 'em, cowboy, ride. Yippee-yay, yippee-yay, on to the great divide. I'm blazing the trail to my home. Never no more will I roam. Give me the range where friend will never change.
The Cass County boys with a brand of grade A singing that they've been dishing out for a long, long time. And now, folks, if you don't mind, I'd like to sing a song that's been at the top of the Western Hit Parade for a long, long time, too. You asked for it, so here it is.
Come sit by my side, little darling. Come lay your cool hand on my brow. Promise me that you will never be nobody's darling but mine. Nobody's darling but mine, love. Be honest, be faithful, be kind. Promise me that you will never be nobody's darling but mine. You're as sweet as the flowers of springtime. You're as pure as the dew from the rose. But I'd rather be somebody's darling than a poor boy that nobody knows. Goodbye, goodbye, little darling. I'm leaving this whole world behind. Promise me that you will never be nobody's darling but mine.
Oh, wonderful, Gene, wonderful. It's a real old favorite. Now, partner, it comes sort of time for you to unwind over there and let go with another of your stories of the West, you know.
Well, that's right, Lou. And today I have one I think all the folks are going to like. I call it The Devil's Saint.
Well, that's a mighty potent title there, partner. But just what or who is the Devil's Saint, anyway?
Well, Lou, the Devil's Saint was the roughest bucking horse that ever lived. They called him Skyball Paint. And take my word for it, there never has been and there never will be another like him. So just settle back, and as you say, I'll unwind.
Old Skyball Paint was a devil's saint. His eyes were a fiery red. Good men have tried this horse to ride, and most of them are dead. Now I won't brag, but I rode this nag till his blood began to boil. Then I hit the ground and ate 3 pounds of good old western soil. Singing hi-ho, whoopee-tie-ho.
Well, sir, to begin my story, the first meeting with old Skyball Paint was at the Carterville Rodeo, close on to 8 years ago. I was working for Jim Slater of the Bar S Ranch at that time. We had just finished the fall roundup, and with the rodeo only a week off, most of the boys had their eyes peeled for that prize money. And I reckon I was no exception. Well, one evening, right after supper, Jim called us all over to the ranch.
All right, men, all right. I got the Bar S entry list ready for this year's rodeo. And I'm dead bent on my boys taking top honors this year and beating the tar out of Clint Murphy's hands at the same time. Now, according to the Carterville Rodeo Committee, each ranch in this section can enter one man in each event. So, here's the way I doped it out. Hank, you take the calf roping. Shorty, the bull riding. Joey, you ride the bareback bronc. Ace, you handle the steer wrestling. And the wild cow milking should be right up your alley, Johnny.
You ain't just a whooping, boss.
Well, Gene, I guess that leaves the saddle bronc busting up to you.
Well, I'll do my best, Jim.
Now, wait a minute, Slater. I'm the man for the saddle bronc.
Listen, Blackie. I've been rodeoing since long before you ever saw the light of day. I've assigned the best man I got to each event, and that's that.
Then where do I come in?
You don't. It's like a lot of other hands, and they're not complaining. I'm putting up the entry money for you men, and it's my ranch's reputation that's at stake.
It'll be all right with me, Jim, if you won't let Blackie ride. After all, he's worked here longer than I have.
Well, that ain't the idea, Gene, and Blackie knows it. All right, you men, have a week to get yourselves ready for the events. So make the most of it.
Well, sir, all through the rest of the week, the Bar S was the scene of some plain and fancy rodeo work. For winning top honors at the Carterville Rodeo was something every ranch in the country was after. When the big day arrived, every Bar S contestant was in mighty good form.
How about it, Gene? You going to bring home the bacon?
I'm going to do my best, Jim.
Yeah, what horse did you draw?
Number 13.
Well, if the horse is as bad as the number, then you're in business.
Well, just keep your fingers crossed. Oh, by the way, Here comes Blackie over this way. He's still carrying a grudge because I'm riding instead of him.
Yeah, let him carry it. You offered to step out for him. He shouldn't be sore at you, Jim.
Hello, Audrey. Getting cold feet yet?
Look, Blackie, I've been trying to be nice about this, but all week you've been punching at me. Now take my advice and don't carry your talk too far.
I don't need your advice.
That's enough of that kind of talk, Blackie. I'll get on around to the chutes and help Shorty get aboard that bull.
All right. But remember, Audrey, when you hit the ground, it's too late.
I didn't realize at the time how much truth there was in Blackie's warning. As the events came and went, the Var S more or less held its own. Sure enough, our closest competition was the boys from the Clint Murphy Club. When the saddle bronc riding event came around, the points between the two ranches were pretty well evened up. It was this event that was to decide which ranch would go home with top honors. Naturally, that put me on the spot. All I was hoping that old number 13 would give me a good ride.
All right, Gene, I'm counting on you.
Yeah, if I can imagine come through here for you, Jim, we'll be on top of the heap.
And I'll walk right over and laugh right in Clint Murphy's face.
Yeah, and I'll stay around and laugh in your face, don't you?
I told you once to take it easy, Blackie. Just remember I meant what I said.
Yeah? Well, when did you get an eye for that nag you drew?
Yeah? What's wrong with him?
What's wrong with him? Well, he's over there in the chute as calm as a kid's pet. You won't get enough rise out of him to jump him 10 feet.
Are you serious about that, Blackie?
Go see for yourself. If you ask me, he ought to be rented out as a good plow horse.
It doesn't sound too good, Jim.
I'm going over and demand that they give you another horse, or one that'll at least give you a good ride and a chance to go for the money.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Well, it's too late now. The announcer's starting the event.
Here's the last event of this year's Carterville Rodeo. Saddle bronc riding out of chute. Number four, on Bluebeard, comes Homer Thompson of the Diamond J Ranch. Here he comes.
Well, Homer Thompson made a darn good ride and stayed on for the limit. Then came Clint Murphy's entry, Bill Ketting. And when the chute swung open, Bill came out spurring for all of his worth. There was no doubt about it. He'd made a ride and on a mean bronc, and it was going to be hard to beat. With only two more riders before my turn, I went around to my chute to find out just how much truth there was in Blackie's statement about the horse I'd drawn, number 13. As I climbed up the side of the chute, I looked down on a mild-mannered paint bronc. Spread out over him and dropped into the saddle. Nothing happened. The paint didn't move. Then I heard the announcer's voice.
Ladies and gentlemen, the last ride in the saddle bronc event will be made by Gene Autry of the Bar S Ranch. Here he comes out of chute number 7 on Skyball Paint.
As the chute swung open, old Skyball stood calm and still for a moment. Then suddenly and without warning, he made a wild jump in the air and came down pawing the earth for all he was worth. Every bone in my body seemed to rattle like throwing down an arm full of wood. Within the next few seconds, he threw everything in the sun at me. Twisting, spinning, sunfishing, and then he warped his backbone and went straight into the air like a jackknife. Then came down with a thud that wrinkled my spine. I knew I was on the ground, but the noise of the crowd only added to my dazed brain. There was only one thing I could think of. I'd been on top of a load of dynamite, the like of which I'd never seen or ridden before.
I'm telling you, Gene, I've never seen anything like it in all my life.
Yeah, but the fact still remains, Jim, that he threw me. And we lost to the Clint Murphy outfit.
Oh, you still gave this rodeo the greatest ride they've seen in the 20 years they've been holding this event. That bronc wasn't human. I'm going to buy that paint at any price.
Well, I hope you're not thinking on making a saddle horse out of him.
Well, hardly. But we're going to stage the biggest one-horse rodeo in history. Somebody's going to ride that nag, and I ain't fooling.
When word got around that Jim Slater bought Skyball paint and was offering a big cash prize to the cowboy that stayed on him the longest, things began to happen. It was on the following Saturday at the Bar S that the first big ride was to take place. Cowboys from all over came each week to compete for the money. The man that stayed on the paint the longest was to be declared the winner of the Slater purse and be given the bronc to boot.
Well, Gene, are the boys about ready to try it?
Yeah, I reckon so, Jim. But I'm afraid some of them will back out after they see what the paint does.
Yeah, that's their privilege.
All right, boss. We got the saddle on him.
Yeah, good, Hank. Who's the first man up?
Flint Bryan drew first mount.
Yeah, then tell him to climb on. And be sure the pickup men are ready to catch him.
When Slim got well seated in the saddle, the boys turned Skyball Paint loose. Stood still for a moment, just as he'd done with me. Then he broke loose like a bolt of lightning, and Slim was gone from that saddle before he could get a deep breath. The following week came Bob Spencer, and the same thing happened. Then Harry Jones, Good Baker, Tom Clifton. It was the same story each week. Many of the hands backed out when they saw old Skyball in action. To date, Bill Ketting of the Murphy Ranch had made the best ride. He'd stayed on him 6 seconds.
I'm telling you, Gene, it's the most amazing thing I ever seen.
Well, who's going to try to ride him today?
It's Blackie's turn. As soon as they cinch up the saddle.
Well, this is his chance to back up all the boasting he's been doing.
He won't last 5 seconds. Take my word for it.
And the boss was right. Blackie didn't last more than 2 jumps with the paint. That was all. The next Saturday came my time. I went over to the fence, started across the corral to where the King of the Wild Bronx was standing. I had just one thing in mind, to get revenge on this cayuse for throwing me at the Carterville Rodeo.
I swore by heck I'd break his neck for the jolt he gave my pride. I threw my noose on that old cayuse and once more took a ride. He turned around and soon I found his head where his tail should be. So says I, perhaps he's shy or he just don't care for me.
Well, it was the same story. Old Skyball Paint bogged his head low 1 minute, chin up to the moon the next. I was riding for all it was worth. Seconds ticked by like hours. I threw every trick I knew at him, but he got stronger and stronger. Then before I knew what happened, old Skyball made a quick pinwheel turn and jumped straight up in the air. When he came down, I wasn't with him.
How about it, Gene? Are you hurt?
Well, I hurt all over, but I don't know where.
You stayed on him for 11 seconds, Gene. It is the greatest ride I ever saw. Even better than what you did at Carterville.
Well, if you ask me, Jim, that's one bucking horse that's going to go down in history.
Well, Gene, don't forget you've not only won the prize money, but you also won old Sky Bull paint.
Standing right over there.
Well, I needed the money, but old Skyball paint was something I didn't know how to use. This horse that couldn't be ridden was a killer, and I knew that no man was going to ride him until he got so old he couldn't pitch anymore. Well, I reckon that's just about all of my story. But for a long time after, folks came from all over the country to see this now famous paint. Looking at him, people wouldn't believe that such a mild-mannered animal could warrant such a reputation. But no one had the nerve to climb aboard just to prove a point. Oh, yes, there's one more little chapter to this story, too.
In town one day I chanced to stray upon old Sheriff Jim. For a whoop and a holler and a counterfeit dollar, I sold the nag to him. But when he plants the seat of his pants in Skyball's leather chair, I'll bet 4 bits when Skyball quits that Jim will not be there. Singing high-ho, hi-yo, ride him high and down you go, sons of a western song.
Story, Gene, is a swell story, and I only wish I'd have been around to get a crack at that horse. Oh. You know, I'd have ridden him to a standstill or died in the attempt.
You know, I have a sneaking hunch there, partner, that it would have been the latter.
Yes. Well, maybe so, but right now, you know, we're wasting time, partner, because the folks are all waiting out there to hear this week's Cowboy Classic.
All right, Lou, here we go. This week's song is one about a rather special girl. I guess she's special because she belongs to every cowboy from the Rio Grande to the Canadian border. They've never seen her, but they've done an awful lot of dreaming. So if the boys and girls will join me, here it is. I'm a
whisper to you, good night, little girl of my dreams. And though we're apart, you'll be with me, sweetheart. Good night, little girl of my dreams. I know that I'll be dreaming of you, dreaming that you love me, and I love you. Kiss me and then, until we meet again, good night, little girl of my dreams.
I'm always good when I whisper to you, good night, little girl of my dreams. Though we're apart, you'll be with me, sweetheart. Good night, little girl of my dreams.
I know that I'll be dreaming of you, dreaming that I love you, and you love me. Kiss me and then, until we meet again, good night, little girl of mine.
Yeah? Yeah, you were right when you said that song was about a rather special girl, Gene. Guess that really fills the bill for everybody's idea of a Western love song.
Fills the bill for me, Lou. But, of course, my taste always runs to Western style.
And I'd call it good taste. You know, to my way of thinking, when you say a thing's Western, you're saying it's good.
That's your standard of quality, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, and here's another. Folks, Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is your standard of quality. For complete chewing satisfaction.
Yes, you're right, Lou. There's only one genuine Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, and it always has the name Wrigley's on the wrapper.
Good night, little girl of mine.
Well, folks, that sort of locks the barn for this week, but next Sunday, we'll send the buckboard around to pick you up at the same time and over these same stations.
We'll all be back in the saddle again. I'll wear a friend.
Be sure to join us again next Sunday, same time, same station, when the Wrigley people will again present Gene Autry, who may soon be seen in the Columbia picture, The Last Roundup. Meantime, remember, Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is your standard of quality. For complete chewing satisfaction. Lou Crosby speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.